Christian?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but that should excite you.
Amen.
Amen. He is the joy of all salvation. Amen. Some days we don't even feel like it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Amen. But the joy is deep down in our soul.
Yeah.
It gives us a reason to do what we do. It gives us a reason to smile. I don't know about you, but it gives me a reason to get up in the morning. Amen. The joy of our salvation. Praise God. We praise God for each and every one of you joining in with us in our service today. Thank God for those of you in person. Praise God for you. Amen. That you thought it not robbery to come to the house of the Lord. And the faithful that's joining in with us Sunday after Sunday on the phone line and Facebook Live, just waiting to hear a word from the Lord. We praise God for you. Amen. Stand to your feet right now as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer at the beginning of this service. Most holy, everlasting, righteous Father God, we come now and we stand in your holy presence. We thank you this morning, Father, for your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came when we were lost in sin and we were not even worthy to come to you.
Yes.
But Jesus came and he gave his life, and as a result of giving his life, he built back the bridge that has separated us from you. For this morning, oh God, we are so thankful. We are so grateful that we do not have to die now in our sins. But we have accepted the finished work on Calvary. And as a result, we are now called your sons and your daughters. Not only that, God, we thank you for the place that you have prepared for us. So when that season comes in our lives, when we're absent from this body, we can be in the presence of the Lord. For this morning, oh God, we give you thanks. And for this morning, oh God, we give you praise. We thank you, God, for how you kept us all week long. Lord Jesus, how you allowed your angels' goodness and mercy to follow us all week long. And as a result, we can now come to give you back thanks, to give you back praise. And for this, we're grateful today. Now, Father, as we come into this service, we're asking that your Holy Spirit will just come by here. Just come by here, oh God, because we need a word from you. Not only do we need a word from you, oh God, we need to sense your power. We need to sense your presence. We need to sense your spirit. Because we realize it is not by might nor by power, but it is by your spirit, said the Lord. So this morning, God, as your servant and our pastor will go forward with the message today, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, that you will hide him behind the cross. Give him a word, God, a word for your people. Lord Jesus, we hunger and we thirst after a word from you. Give him a word, oh God, a word that will lift your people up, a word that will encourage your people, a word, oh God, that will give your people strength for this journey. We pray, Lord, this morning for New Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church on a whole. You know us, oh God, wherever we are, those that are here and those that are afar, there is no distance in prayer. And that's why this morning, oh God, we send forth your power. We send forth your spirit. And Lord Jesus, meet your people at the point of their need. Just bless us today, oh God, as we wait on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm a true believer in that. He said, if we lift him up, he'll draw all men unto him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Join us now for the doxology. Thank you enough.
that's why we bow humbly before you. We submit ourselves to you, saying, you're an awesome God, you're omnipotent God. You're a great provider. You're balm in Gilead, your friend that's sticking closer than the brothers. You are emancipator and our proclamator. We thank you for that. For being there for us, when no one else will be there for us. We thank you for that. But Father God, we ask right now that you look beyond our faults and meet us at our need. Creating us a clean heart, giving us the right spirit. And when you've done that, we ask you for a fresh anointing. One filling us up from the sole of our feet to the crowns of our head. Father God, we come together corporately right now because we know that there's power in agreement.
Yes,
Father God, we realize, Father God, that as we join together our spirits, that we can trouble the mercy seat. Father God, we know that you already know what we need when we need it. But Father God, we take joy in knowing that you take joy in hearing us ask you for what we need. We thank you for that. Father God, right now we ask you to continue to develop us and make us into that which you have created us to be. Father God, even though we fall short and sometimes we fall away, Father God, we thank you for not taking your hands off us. We thank you, Father God, for not turning your eyes towards us. But we ask you, Father God, that you continue to keep us on the potter's wheel and make us anew, another vessel right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, fill us up fresh with your Holy Spirit. And when our mind begins to wander, Father God, in the midst of the battle, we ask you to help us to focus and stop being just one scripture on your word and the promises that you have promised us. Father God, we know that you are happy, that you are thankful, that it pleases you, oh Father God, when we put you at the forefront of our life. And that's what we're doing. We thank you for that. Father God, right now, we ask you to not allow anything to confront your people that you, the Holy Spirit in us, can deal with. And we know that you are an all-knowing, all-seeing God, that nothing will happen to us that we can't deal with. So we ask you to continue to be that in our lives. Somebody, Father God, needs some financial blessing. They need provisions in their life. We ask, oh God, that you just do what you say you would do and make a way out of no way. Father God, you have done it for us in our past. We ask you to continue to do it for us. Father God, we need you right now. Father God, right now somebody's body is sick. Somebody's feeling sick. Somebody is under the weather. Father God, we ask you to restore to them first the joy of their salvation, but then, Father God, restore to them the good health. Father God, we realize that we know that you have come so that we have life and have it more abundantly, so we ask you to do those things in our life. Father God, keep your scripture fresh in our mind, even though if our body's in pain and our mind, we are in the midst of the battle. Father God, help us to remember that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for that. Father God, right now we're all in the fight. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And Father God, but we also know that you have told us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the tear down of strongholds. So we ask, oh Father God, to help us to stay in the fight, because we know that the fight is fixed. Father God, we ask you to bless New Jerusalem in a mighty, mighty way. Father God, meet it at its every physical, spiritual, and mental need right now in the name of Jesus. As we join together as one, Father God, bless our unity. Father, as we join together as one, come against the enemy as he tries to hinder, encompass us, and prevent us from doing that which you call us to do. We ask, oh Father God, that you just make a way out of no way. You said in your word, oh Father God, that upon this rock you would build your church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We ask you just do that, oh Father God. Encompass and empower each and every one under the sound of my voice to rise up and stir up the gift that's inside of them and do what you have called us to do. We ask the Father God, we cannot do without you. We possess our very being, our very existence is in you. So we ask, oh Father God, that you do it. Come against Satan. I plead the blood of Jesus against him right now as he rises up against your people. Father God, if you do these few and simple things for us, we'd be so careful, oh Father God. We'd be so careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Bless us in spite of ourselves. Not for our name's sake, but for your name's sake. Father God, encompass and bless your people. If you do these few and simple things, oh Heavenly Father, we'll be careful to give you all the honor and praise and the glory. And all who love the Lord say amen, amen, and amen. Put your hands together and give God a hand clap of praise.
God pours into you. Oh, how grace woke me up this morning. Oh, Lord, grace guiding me all along my way.
Mother Mary
Francis McDowell. Now, we're looking forward to a wonderful time, and we want all of our women registered for this grand event. Our colors this year will be yellow and orange. The theme for the year is bright, bold, and beautiful. I guess from the colors, you know that the theme fits right in. So we are looking forward to a wonderful time, and we're just going to honor the memory on Friday night of Mother Mary McDowell. She was the birther of our women's conference, and there's so much in store for you. So we want all our women to be a part, and you know, we invite our men too. There's something that men can gain from the conference as well, because the Word of God has no gender attached to it. So we want to invite you. The registration is $25, and we know that you are going to be anxious to be a part of this, and we're looking forward to a great time in the Lord, and we all are invited. So see me after the service, and I can give you a little bit more detail. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do it in person, see me. For those who are on the phone line, give me a call, and I'll give you additional details. Thank you so very much. Now it's in the hands of Pastor.
Amen. So glad to have you on back into the sanctuary this morning. I see that it's next Sunday that we're going to observe Clergy Appreciation Month. So come on out, give Pastor a smile and a hug, and the ministerial staff a smile and a hug. We're glad to see you. Amen. Amen. She told you about Seaboard, November 5th and the 6th. It's the Seaboard Virtual Women's Conference. Make sure you be a part of register that. Any woman in New Jerusalem, any woman in New Jerusalem who has difficulty with that registration fee, that's the Sister Ophelia. I'm going to take care of you. Make sure you be a part. We want you to be a part of the conference. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The furloughs, I talked to them yesterday. They arrived safe. They did arrive safely on Friday when they left, and they will be coming back. They had a strengthening and good going home, going celebration for Sister Sampson, Deacon Furlow's sister, and they'll be looking forward to coming back as scheduled. All is well with them. Yesterday, Furlow was his peppy, happy self right on the phone, make me laugh, and like he always does. Amen? It's just a joy. We had the homegoing celebration for our very own sister Ella Miller yesterday. It was a very good homegoing celebration. Amen?
Amen?
And we thank God for it. We will miss her dearly, but she is better off with God. Amen. God is too wise to make a mistake. We thank the culinary staff for being on duty. Thank the ushers. Thank the choir. And we thank musicians. We thank all of you that supported that service. It was a very good homegoing service, right? The family was encouraged and was pleased yesterday. Amen. I think I've covered everything. I don't think I've forgotten anything. Still in Breast Cancer Month, so continue to pray for those that are still fighting breast cancer, and thank God for those that have survived breast cancer. Amen. You know, we have many in our congregation that has done that. I want you to keep New Jerusalem in prayer. When I say keep the church, because it's your church, your home church, pray that God continue to bless and keep us, open doors for us, enlarge our territory, give us the things we need to do so that we can do the work that he has called us to do in this section of the vineyard. Amen? And if you pray earnestly for that to happen, God will bless us. Just pray that God meets the need. You don't have to call anybody by name. Just make, you know, I know you can pray for pastor, but pray for the ministry, because guess what? Any one person in that ministry needs an increase on something so they can be a blessing to the ministry. When you pray for the church, God will bless those attached to the church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Continue to pray for our mothers and our deacons, and pray for everyone. Amen? And God will continue to turn the glory on. Amen. It is offering time. The Bible says, bring your tithes to the storehouse, and there'll be meat in my house. It says, prove me not, child of God. And see that I open up the windows of heaven to pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. It's biblical, it's spiritual. We all know the biblical principle of tithing in the New Jerusalem. And we are blessed people and a blessed church because of it. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're going to bless this offering in advance before you bring it, so that God will do what he said he would do for us. Amen? Give it in a good spirit. Now, God loves a cheerful giver. If you don't give it happily, it won't do you no good. It'll help our bottom line. It won't bless you at all. Amen? Okay, let's look to the Lord and be blessed. Well, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity that we are given in this service. Well, Father God, without you, we can do nothing. But in you, through you, all things are possible. So we ask you to bless this offering, oh, Father God. Bless your people as they give unto you. Father God, you know our circumstances and situation, but you ask us to walk by faith and not by sight. So, Father God, that's what we're going to do. We're going to call those things that are not as if they are. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Bless your people, oh Father God. Father God, I plead the blood of your son Jesus against the spirit of poverty and failure in the lives of your people. I rebuke it right now. Father God, open up any door right now that has been closed on your people that you want open. Father God, right now, bless the heads of those households, wherever they stand right now, wherever they place their feet, let them claim that's their ground. Whatever they put their hands to, oh Father God, let it multiply and turn to gold. Father God, you said you make a way out of nowhere. You said you bless your people. You said in your word that you have come so we have life and have it more abundantly. So bless your people spiritually, physically right now, and mentally right now in the name of Jesus. If you do these few and simple things for us, oh Heavenly Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all who love the Lord say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Ushers leading into us into giving, and choir give us some music. Gethsemane, his sister passed away. That's the Tucker and Mora family. They sent a thank you card from the church. Amen. He said, perhaps you have sent a loving card or a sat quietly in a chair. Perhaps you sent a floral piece. I so we saw in there. Perhaps you spoke the kindest words, as any friends could say. Perhaps you were not there at all and just thought about us that day. Whatever you did to console our hearts, we thank you so much. Whatever the part you played, the family of April Sherrill, the Tucker and Moore family, thank you, New Jerusalem, for all that you have done. Amen?
Amen.
Just remember to keep the bereaved family in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Now, as the choir sings a song, we'll move on with our message for the day. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
you thank God. Being good to you, wave your hand.
Yes.
If he's been good to you, you ought to wave your hand this morning.
Thank you.
name of Jesus.
Thank you.
They're going to even wave their hand.
Thank you.
I guess they think they brought their own self this morning.
Thank you.
But I want to let you know.
He renews my amazement in him daily. And it's not predicated upon my perfection or my acts at all. It's got nothing to do with me. It's all about him. All about him. It's all about him, y'all. When you realize that? Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Here's a word from the Lord. I'm going to hold you long today. You've had a busy week, busy day yesterday. But there's a word from the Lord. Look at in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. I want to shine a sermonic spotlight on a familiar portion of text, verses 6 through 11 of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Verses 6 through 11. Let's pray. Oh, Lord of God, I ask him as your name in all the earth. Once again, it's another time, most Father God, we come together to sit at your feet to hear a little word from you. Father God, we don't know what you have to say to us, but whatever you bring throughout this word, we ask you to allow it to be a rhema word, to elevate 50 each and every one under the sound of my voice. Father God, let it be real for us and alive in our life based on what we're going through at this present time right now. Father God, bind Satan as he goes to and fro trying to snatch the word and knowledge away from your people. Father God, we come like the deer panther for the water. We pant because we need something from you, oh God. So we ask, oh Father God, allow your Holy Spirit to exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Do what you say you would do. You say you would never leave us nor forsake us. You say you would show up. Father God, we perish for lack of knowledge. So right now, in the name of Jesus, anoint every mind and seat in the place. Make this word plain enough so that a child can understand it. Move back the drapers of misunderstanding and use me in spite of me, oh Father God. Hide me behind the cross. Allow them not to see me, but to see you right now. Have your way in this place. And whatever's accomplished in this saying, oh Father God, we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people hear it. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, commencing at the sixth verse. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, I mean their eyes were fixed on Jesus, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And we know that God's word is already blessed, right? I'd like to put a tag, on this text. Just for a short while today. Be ye ready. Be ye ready. You take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Be ye ready. Jesus is coming back. Do I need to say that again? Jesus is coming back. Maybe morning, night, or noon. I don't know how soon, but the Bible tells me that Jesus is coming back. The signs of the time tell us Jesus is on the way back. The late Dr. Manuel Scott, preaching in his Legend series at Brentwood Baptist Church, talked about in his sermon while he was out evangelizing and preaching the gospel on the streets, he mentioned to a man in witnessing to him, he informed him that Jesus is coming back. The man said casually, that is no concern of mine. I live in Boston. So he informs him, Boston or Beirut, Manhattan or Mississippi, Jesus is coming back. It does not matter how much money you have or what kind of neighborhood you live in. It should be a concern of yours that Jesus is on the way back. When you read the scriptures, New Jerusalem, whenever God wants to do something of magnificence, walk with me as I walk through the text. And importance, anytime God wants to do anything of significance and importance, God does it on a mountain. It happens on a high place. When I want to see God theologically, I travel to Mount Horeb. Because it's on Mount Horeb that I hear him say to Moses, rather loud, tell them that I am that I am. When I want to see God theologically, and that is the study of religious doctrines, theologically is the study of religious doctrines of salvation, I travel to Mount Moriah. Because it's on Mount Moriah that Abraham gets ready to sacrifice and is getting ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. And Isaac is given miraculous resurrection life through a substitute lamb that he is saved by that they find in a bush. Whenever I want to see God
Christologically, I travel to Mount Hermon. Because it's on Mount Hermon, his divinity and his humanity is seen in transfigured glory. That's when Jesus was transfigured. It's on Mount Hermon that he talks with Moses and Elijah. And his divinity shows through his humanity. And we see God Christologically. But when I want to see God eschatologically, eschatology is the study of the end times, y'all. Death, judgment, and the final destination of the soul. That's what the soul, that's what eschatology is study about. But when I want to see God in that manner, I travel to the Mount of Olives. Because it's on the Mount of Olives, he gives his Olivet Discourse. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24 and chapter 25, he gives us a mystery on Mount Olives. But then on Mount of Olives, he gives also his majesty. Jesus says some majestic words on the Mount of Olives. Because the disciples asked him, when you come again, will God at that time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, that is not for you to know. The times or the seasons that the Father has put in his power. Now when he said put in his power, he said he can do what he wants to do because that's how he got it. That's how he rolled, like the young people say.
Amen.
But he said, but you shall receive power. Not power to know the times or the seasons, but you shall receive power. So when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, that power, that dunamis power, when you hear the word dunamis, it's also always talking about not your power, not by your might or your strength, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. Y'all with me? Are y'all with me? It will enable you to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The Bible said when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, while they fixed their gaze on Jesus, while they were looking, walking past him, while they were actually seeing him, while their eyes were trained on him, because Christianity is not philosophy, y'all. It's about him.
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Christianity is not about doctrine. It is about Jesus. It's not about being Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, or Episcopalian. It's about fixing your eyes on Jesus. Life is much simpler when you keep your eyes on Jesus. Life is more satisfying when you keep your eyes on Jesus, on him. Life is more sanctifying when you keep your eyes on him. Peter would have kept on walking on water had he kept his eyes on Jesus. It is not philosophy, it is not doctrine. Now with me, it is not a belief system. It's about Jesus. While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This cloud is mentioned, Sister Ophelia, in Psalms, the 104th division of the Psalms. This cloud is mentioned as Jesus' chariot. This cloud gets under Jesus. Y'all walk with me now. Jesus is standing on the Mount of Olives. A cloud gets up under him, Brother Amoson, which is just a mist. A cloud was just an atmospheric precipitation in air. A cloud becomes a chariot for Jesus. See, y'all don't know the shout. A cloud is a mist, a vapor. It becomes a chariot. A cloud that you're able to grab with your hands, because
you're unable to grab it by your hand because it's just a mist. It's just vapor. It disappears because it's just a mist. But it picks Jesus up on the Mount of Olives. It becomes, Psalms 104 say, his chariot to glory. It gets under him, receives him, and lifts him out of their sight. Beyond the troposphere, beyond the stratosphere, beyond the mesosphere, beyond the thermosphere, beyond the exosphere, where it becomes limitless space. He is out of their sight because he's bound at the right hand of God, sitting there with power, making intercession for us. Imagine the scene. A cloud lifts Jesus beyond their sight, and it takes Jesus to where he left from. Can I use my sanctified imagination? Angels are waiting for him. They are lining the shining streets of glory to welcome back the King who went to earth to save the world. He is out of their sight. And one thing the disciples, they don't even notice, that two men are standing by them in white apparel. I've been dealing with these two men every time I used to read the scripture. Thank you, Jesus. The two men in this part of the text, y'all, pray for me now, God, as I pray for me as I just try to reveal this to you how God revealed it to me. These two men, the entire time, they are standing there, Brother Norris. They're looking at, while they're looking at Jesus, these two men been there, standing there. They don't even notice the two men. Two men are standing there in white apparel. The scripture does not call them angels. Are y'all with me? But they must be because they are in white apparel. And they speak an announcement. Let me know that they're angels of good news. Angels are bearers of good news. Whenever angels show up, they show up in white apparel with some good news. Here's what struck and captured my attention about these two men. These two men perhaps could be the same two men who were in the tomb. Because when you read the text, when you read the Gospel of Luke, it says one was at his head in the tomb. That's what Luke says. And the other was at his feet. Y'all remember the text in Luke? I need a Bible reader. Facing each other, imitating y'all, walk with me, their cousins, the seraphims. Because when you read the scripture, on the mercy seat, there are two men facing each other, hovering over the mercy seat in the tomb. There are two men in white apparel facing each other, hovering over the true mercy seat. The mercy seat that covered the Ark of the Covenant. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant had two angels on each end, which they were instructed to build. And those angels were, but those were seraphim. They were bowed, and what was considered at that time was the mercy seat. The priest, the high priest of the children of Israel, went into the mercy seat to beg for mercy to God, y'all with me, to ask for forgiveness for the people. But now, the real mercy seat has been crucified, put in the tomb, and you got two men bowing at the real mercy seat. These two men, these same two men who stayed over after the resurrection, 40 days later, they are still there in white apparel with some good news. Here is the good news. Men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? Here's the good news. This same Jesus who you see going up He is coming back. New Jerusalem, I don't know what that does for your spirit. I don't know what that does for your situation or your moments of depression or whatever struggles you may go on through. That alone will help me come through whatever I'm going through, just to know that God is not dead. He's still alive. He's coming back. I don't know how you handle it in your times of stress, but the only thing that gets me through tomorrow, the only thing that gets me through the dark days in my life, the only thing that helps me fight on, is knowing that Jesus is coming back, and all I got to do is be ready. I may have to cry sometime. He didn't say I won't have to cry. I will be ready because he's coming back. My enemies might get the best of me sometimes. But the good news is be ready because he's coming back. Because Jesus is on the way back. I'm trying to encourage you. My father left me. My grandfather left me. But Jesus is coming back. He told me in his word, be ye always ready. And that cheers my spirit. I don't know about you. Brothers and sisters, the religion of Jesus Christ is first of all about a person. This same Jesus, the Jesus of the virgin birth, the Jesus of the virtuous life, the Jesus of the vicarious death that he died, this Jesus of the victorious resurrection, this same Jesus will come back in a very visible return. Virgin in his birth, virtuous in his life, victorious in his death, victorious in his resurrection, which will make him visible in his return. He ain't coming back the way he left him. He's coming back to the same spot where he left. That's what the angel said. I know I'm in the text. You say, is he going to come back to the Mount of Olives? Yeah, he's going to be hovering over the Mount of Olives when he come back. But guess what? Just the people around over there in Israel won't be able to see him. We're going to see him from on high. We're going to see him wherever we are. We're going to get to see him come through the clouds. And I just follow me, get you the text to show I know what I'm talking about. This is what the angel says. Why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. Like manner. Just how he left, he coming back. Too much preaching is mixed and filled with practical humanism, Sister Fia. How to get rich, how to be happy, how to get a man, how to get rid of a man, how to get a woman, how to get rid of a woman, how to be loose, how to access what God has for you, that your name is on it, how to be in your wealthy place, how to name it and claim it. That is preaching filled with secularism and humanism. That is pure cotton candy. And if you eat too much cotton candy, you will have rotten teeth, preventing you from chewing real word. And you will not be able to digest good spiritual food. The reason you can't digest it is because you can't chew it. Because this false gospel will leave you with an appetite of sugary treats. When the real meat of Christianity is that Jesus died. Didn't he die?
Yes.
Jesus died. He got up. He's coming back again. Be ready. When Jesus came the first time, he was born in a manger, y'all. When Jesus comes the second time, every eye shall see him as he is. When Jesus came the first time, he hung on a cross. But when he comes the second time, he'll be sitting on a throne. Hallelujah. When he came the first time, Pilate judged him. But when he comes the second time, Jesus will be the judge. Be ye always ready. The Christian religion is not about a philosophy, not about a doctrine. It's not about a belief system. It's simply about Jesus. People wonder why they don't have to jump on benches and do 12 steps to get to Jesus. No, he died. Jesus paid it all. All you got to do is step on the terms of the gospel. If you believe in your heart, then you become the sons and daughters of God. The reason I say it's not about philosophy, follow me, a doctrine or a belief system, witchcraft is a philosophy. The New Age movement, that's a philosophy. That has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. My faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith is only as strong as the person I am believing in, and that's Jesus Christ. And the person I am hanging my hopes on. Are y'all with me? And the person I'm hanging my hopes on is Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, there's not enough preaching about Jesus because there's power in that name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Demons tremble at the name. Spirits, unknown, uncanny, unrelenting, wild spirits, back up at the name of Jesus. You hear what I pray? In the name of Jesus, I plead his blood against every foul and malignant spirit that raises up against your people. I plead the blood on everything that God has given them. I plead the blood upon everything you're blessed with, their families, their homes, and their jobs. Because guess what? There's power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in his blood. Are y'all with me? When they talked about Jesus because it was about him, the old saints could not keep their seats. They could not hold their peace when you call the name of Jesus in the church. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. My hope, y'all, my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Born in Bethlehem, baptized in the Jordan, did miracles in a desert place, wept over Jerusalem, prayed in Gethsemane, died one Friday, got up from the grave one Sunday morning, commissioned disciples, sent the Holy Ghost for us. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Y'all with me? Be ye always ready. We don't have to fret. We don't have to sweat it. I really don't care. I know I used to say sometimes, y'all, I'm not going to let the devil see me sweat. I don't care if the devil see me sweat. I can sweat and whatever. God already got the fight fixed. The fight is fixed. The battle is not mine. It belongs to the Lord. He's coming back, and because he's coming back, that means that what I'm going through right now is just temporary. Are y'all with me? Whatever you're going through, whatever struggle, I don't care how severe it is, it's just temporary. It's something about everything you got to go through from A to Z. There's nothing new under the sun for God. You might put a different twist, you might put a different twist or flavor on that thing, but there's nothing new under the sun for God. I don't care what century we live in. God can handle it all. Are y'all with me? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He cares about us. That's why he died for us. What I like about it is that the more serious I become about him, the more close he wants to walk with me. Because now, if I focus myself in getting myself ready, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added unto me. So, the devil throws these little side plays on us. Well, God, you said you was going to bless me, but this broke the other day. And I thought you blessed me, but it broke. And now I'm not blessed like I used to be. No, the devil threw a side play, and now he's trying to make you think that God ain't not gonna come true for his word. The devil is a lie. He will come through for his word. Are y'all with me? He will come through. Y'all know he will come through, right? Have you convinced yourself that he will come through? Because if you don't believe he'll come through on this little thing, he ain't coming back. Because all the promises is in his word. If you disregard and invalidate or don't validate one thing, the whole word is untrue. Are y'all with me? You must believe every single thing that's in it. If you know that your last breath here is your first breath there. Because if you don't believe that he can make a way out of no way, you die, that's it for you. Hello. Be ye always ready. Don't let the devil make you think that God is not on his word. That's all he can do is try to make you think. Your spiritual warfare is fought in your mind. Be ye always ready. Be ye ready, because Jesus is on the way back, y'all. He's coming back. Amen?
Amen.
Be ye ready. Stand your feet and put your hands together. Give God a hand clap of praise. The Bible says that Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. When you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I'm here to say to you that if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, if you're in my presence, on the phone line, or you're doing Facebook Live, and you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, the Bible says all you got to do is say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and he'll come in. When he comes in, he'll adopt you, he's not going to adopt you, because what happens is, you become his child, because he died for you, he created you. He just wants you to come back to him, come to him. Amen? You belong to him. We all become the sons and daughters of God just by your belief on him. Once you do that, the devil will be able to take you out of his hand. You're in God's hand. No, nothing can take you out. You may ignore him. You may not want to follow his direction. But guess what? That's what the next invitation for. It's for you that are being rebellious against God. And you know what God can do in your life. God said, that's all right. You forgot about me. You're trying to forget about me. But I have not forgotten about you. He said, I'm married to the backslider. That's what God said. He said, I will not forget you. So all you got to do is say, Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you. I understand, like the prodigal son said, I came to come to my senses. He said, come on back. He said, we'll walk. He said, I'll teach you and get to make you get become excited about that I'm on my way back. That I need you to be ready for when I come back. If you don't have a church home, we want to invite you to join up with the people of God here in New Jerusalem. And you can do that by calling me. If you're on the phone line or you're on Facebook line, you can call that phone number that's there, and I'll accept you. Give you the right hand of fellowship. New Jerusalem, this is a place where the word is powerful and our worship is passion. So we ask you to just come and join us. Will there be one today? Is there one? Is there anyone? Is there one?
Church say, God is so good. God is so good. Let your church. excited.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Ready to go.
They made contact with me.
Right.
Yeah, they made contact with me, getting their numbers and stuff.
Let me get my
phone.